Christ, you live in the grace of God, you live in the riches of Christ for the body of Christ. He says, so you need to remember my death, what it means to, what I am going to pay for, what I'm going to do for your own benefit. You've got to remind yourself this things, because if you don't, you are going to forget them. And if you forget them, you won't benefit. Them will be in vain. So, the Corinthian church didn't understand. Because you need to understand that at that time, Christianity just started. The Corinthian church, they just started. So it was a new concept, really, that came to town. And so the Jews were fighting it. They didn't understand this thing. Is he competing with Moses? We know Moses spoke. God spoke to Moses. We don't know this man. And they say, this is a new thing. And some people say, what kind of new doctrine is what? Is this? So it was new. It was very new. And Corinth was a town, a city that was steep in prosperity. And then with prosperity comes immorality. Like the Western world, Africa, whatever prosperity comes all the things that money attracts. So Corinth was a place of commerce. So with that came all manner of pomposity. You know, when people get money, they tend to be very pompous. So pomposity and all manner of arrogance and immorality, pride. And because of that, the people in the church were going to court, suing each other, because that was pride. Again, they were baby Christians. They just started this thing. Paul told them, you are carnal. So I can't give you solid what? Food. I'll give you milk. You know what milk is? Eh? For babies. God will bless you, it's milk. Responsibility is solid. It's good. He said, I won't give you the bone. I will crack it. So let me give you the what? The milk. So open your mouth. There are a lot of Christians who are baby Christians. You know how you know baby Christians? When you don't see your baby, what does the baby do? It starts crying. The pastor didn't come to see me. Pastor didn't come to see me. My friend, stop taking milk. Every time. It's like this thing, they complain and whine. Hey, they talked about me. They're talking. My friend, grow. Have you seen children? They fight over all manner of stuff. Adults don't do that. Adults know the main things, and they are not distracted. Am I correct? Come on, am I correct? Yeah. So, they were baby Christians, so they didn't understand the purpose of the Holy Communion. So, apparently, they took this Holy Communion the way Jesus was doing it. Because remember, Jesus gave it to them during a meal. They sat at a meal. So apparently they too come and see that what? Meal. So some of them will come and they won't wait for others to come and they start eating. And they'll come drunk. Anyway, because prosperity brings out sometimes, not always, but you know. So they'll come and they'll fight at the Holy Communion. Scramble. Does it happen today? Huh? I'm asking. Put one cake there and tell us to go and share. And see whether it happens or not. It's exactly what was happening right there. So, they were doing all that and Paul said to them, you are treating this thing with disrespect. You don't understand the purpose of this thing. And because you don't, you are not benefiting from the purpose of this thing. And many of you are dying instead of being healed. The healing that was provided, the things that Jesus provided for that of his death, you are not even remembering. But you are considering your own what? Stomach. And drinking and doing all sorts of stuff. And then, you know, showing, hey, look, I'm the deacon, I should take first. That's what it was happening in their church. Remember when they were giving prophecy, they were even fighting over who would give first. And if you read it down, Paul said, let me give you people some corrections about this. When I come, I put the rest of the things in order because all of you are out of order. In prophecy, oh my God, they were fighting over, you. I'm the one. I came to the church before you. So I'll give prophecy before you. They were fighting. And Paul said to them to do it in what? In order. And he said, if one is speaking, let the others judge it. Keep quiet and judge it. He said at most three. Because everybody had prophecy. Because if you prophesy, since I'm a deacon, I too will prophesy. That was that church. Serious church that had serious issues. But when Paul wrote them, he called them brethren, beloved of the Lord. If I wrote them, I would have used something else. But Paul, we call them what? Brethren. He didn't say you are not brethren. Call them brethren, beloved of the Lord. And they insulted Paul like nothing else. They said, this man you are preaching is contemptible. That's, we hold it in contempt. He said, you know grammar. When you write letters, it is very weighty, but the way you speak, that's the church we're talking about. So they didn't understand the purpose of the Holy Communion. And because of that, their mind was not focused on Christ. Jesus wants us to be focused on Him. The Holy Communion is to refocus the Christian from his daily business to make sure he's refocused on the Lord who? Jesus Christ, from where his faith comes. From where comes his help? I shall look up unto the hills. From whence cometh what? My help. My help cometh from who? It comes from Jesus. And so, like the Holy Spirit told us, we must look unto Jesus Christ. So the Holy Communion is intended not to be a ritual, but to be a reminder and a refocus out of the business of life, not to forget from where your help has come. Because the Bible says that the nation that forget their God shall be what? What? Shall perish. He said, a nation that forgets their God shall perish, because the God is your helper, is your protector. When you forget your protector, how can you survive? So it is intended to focus us on Christ so that we remember the death on the cross. And I'm begging you as a Christian, don't get too busy. Don't let the enemy take your eyes off Jesus. Because when Jesus said to Peter, come to me, Peter stepped out to what? He walked on water. Did he? But the devil said, as long as he's looking at Jesus, he'll be walking in the miracle. So the devil started up a storm. And then the devil starts up all manner of storms. Some of them is not trouble. Some of them can give you a lot of money. I'm telling you the truth. It can make you so rich. Take your eyes off of Jesus and live your life. That's how he took Wiggles out of church. Made him rich. The man became so rich. This was what you are talking about. Left the church, stopped going to church. Because he prospered and he was a plumber, he made a lot of money. But when he came back, he gave up everything. He said, I'm not doing anything. I want to serve Jesus. So, it can happen to you. It can keep you so busy with legitimate stuff and make you so tired. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. Nothing. And when you leave that empty life, Jesus said when the devil comes, he brings seven more demons. He said this thing is clean, but it is what? Empty. That's nothing. Let my word dwell in you richly. Nothing is there. Nothing is there. Nothing. And you have good reasons. Because you are engaged in everything except the only thing that you must get engaged in. He seek you first what? The kingdom of God. And these things we're collecting. The day the devil will hit it, we won't even know how to fight back, and we'll lose it. Lose our faith. Fall out. So, it is to remind us to focus on Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen? I didn't hear a big amen. See, because Jesus is the foundation of our faith. He is the author and finisher of what? Of our faith. So it is faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ that makes these things work for you. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what makes the benefits of the cross work for the Christian. Let me repeat it again. Faith in Christ is what makes the benefits of the cross to work for who? When you got saved because you believed in who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing else you did that that will give you that salvation except you believe in the Lord Jesus. It's as simple as that, because God makes no further demand on us except to know that we just have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if in our daily life we disconnect from Christ, believe you me, we are going to walk in unbelief. Because the Bible said, God will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed well on Him. So if my mind, if I don't tell myself that Jesus is where my mind focuses, I cannot be kept in perfect peace. Because the storms of life will disorganize me. And then look at Peter. What did Peter do? He said, Lord, do what? Save me. Somebody can't be like that. What did Peter do? What did Peter do? He cried out to who? To the Lord. And what did the Lord do? Stretch his hand and what? Now, watch this now. When he stretched his hand and pulled him up, he left him. Walk on water, Peter. He didn't carry him. Read your Bible now. He didn't carry Peter, nothing. He pulled him up back to what he wanted him to do. And both of them walked on water back to the boat. He didn't carry Peter. He did it. He just pulled him up. And what? I tell Peter, I said, God will bring you back to where you left. Continue from there. So, we must understand how faith works. I was walking in the park, and the Lord was sharing with me about the necessity to walk in faith. As I was walking, He said to me, He said, you understand that anything that is not of faith is sin. How many of us know that? The scripture says, whatever is not of faith is what? Why? Why? It's not dependent on God. If it's not of faith, then you have faith in something else. It's idolatry. That's why that's why without faith you can't please God. Because you are not dependent on Him. You are not. You might say I'm a Christian, but in that circumstance you are not. And every single time we don't, our faith in Christ is compromised, the flesh takes over our life. There's nothing you can do about it. The flesh will rule you. Because either you are reigning in Christ or something is reigning over you. There's no vacuum. So he was telling me, he said, do you know how a Christian lives his life? He said, they're in by total confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So he said, when a Christian is living his life on a daily basis and does not care to focus on Christ, focus on the Word of God, and he has confidence in himself and how he lives and his goodness, he said, all that is total feebleness, federal. Because the only thing that God accepts is what is done by the Spirit. The flesh profited what? That's how we don't understand why can't overcome some habits that you be praying, but the thing is there. The reason is there is that you haven't learned how to walk in faith. If you walk in faith, faith will manifest. Because your confidence in Christ will never be betrayed. He said, those that trust in Him shall not be what? If you read Romans chapter 10, you see that that thing was repeated. It was repeated how many times? Twice. Focus and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock upon which we stand. Amen. So, see what Paul said in Galatians 2:2. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what? Live. Yet, not I. But Christ what? And the life which now, which I now live in the flesh. I live by what? Faith of what? Son of God, who loved me, gave himself to me. Now, some preachers said, he lived by the faith of the Son of God. But I'm saying, it's absolutely the same thing. He lived by faith in the Son of God, or by the faith of the Son of God. It's absolutely the same. Because the spirit of faith is the same. Okay, so let's look at the faith that Jesus himself lived by. We still come back to healing. But we need to lay the foundation to understand that it is this faith that triggers the healing of God. Is this faith that triggers prosperity? Is this faith that triggers faith? This faith triggers the power. This faith, where this faith is not, the power of God is not working. And if the power of God is not working, then that's the flesh working. And that's why we never please God. Do you know it's so serious that you can do good things that this flesh? And the flesh has terrible motive. Because the flesh is the flesh of sin. You can do good things, but the motive is what? Wrong. So, let's see the faith of. Are you following what I'm saying? I just want to run through this. The faith that Jesus did, the Lord Jesus himself. Can we watch Jesus? Let's watch him now. How many of us are ready? Only three people. How many of us are ready? If I'm showing a movie now, you'll be excited. But let's watch Jesus. Let's go watch the Lord Jesus. Just focus your mind and say, I'm going to watch how Jesus speaks now. Practical. So let's watch him. Let's listen to him. Let's just imagine he's walking here. And then in this place. And then in John 8:28, he's talking to a group of people. Can you imagine him talking to a group of people and you are there? You are there. You haven't gone to Jerusalem. Now we're giving you free ride to Jerusalem. So you don't need to go again after this one. So you are there, and he's talking to you people. You are there, and watching him, talking to this group of people. Then say Jesus unto them. Can I see them? The Jews with their everything. Just imagine them there. Jesus unto them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you shall know that what? That I'm he. And that, can we read that sentence? And that I do nothing of what? What does that statement mean? I have a total dependence on my Father. That's the faith of Jesus. He said, I do nothing of myself. And remember, he's sinless. Remember, he has no sin. Remember, he's sinless. As good as Jesus was, as pure as he was, he said, I still depend on who? I can do nothing of myself. I know that. I can of myself do what? Nothing. Now let's go to verse John 5:19. See him repeat that. Now he's still walking the street of Jerusalem. What street is that now? The street that goes to Damascus. So what name shall we give it? Ezendokole Street. So he's walking Ezendokole Street. Now he meets a group of people. Let's see what he tells them. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, 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 what? Verily. What does it mean? Assuredly. This is absolute what? Truth, I'm telling you. Assuredly. I say unto you, the Son can what? Do nothing of himself. But what is here the Father do for that thing, for what things soever he doeth, these also dwelt what? What you see me do is what my Father is doing. So I'm not the one. Now, verse 30. Those people are still there. How many did we see? There were 5 of them. So now there are 8 people. So you're going to talk to them. Verse 30. Can we read verse 30 together? I can what? Of my own self do. How many times has he said this thing? 3 times. So he kept saying this thing. I can't do anything on my own. I can't do anything on my own. I can't do it. And I know that. I know that. I know that. I know I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. I trust my Father from morning till evening. I cannot. I cannot. I cannot. I listen to him. What he says. What I do. He says,
He said, I can't even have my word. That's the faith that pleases God. That's the faith that worships God as the Almighty. Do you get what I'm saying? You're not getting? The faith that trusts God in the morning and stops in the afternoon has another God. It can be your intelligence, it can be your smartness, it can be your friends, it can be the government, it can be anything you trust. But those things will fail you. They will fail you. Praise the Lord. Now, John 14:10. Let's nail it now. We're looking at how Jesus lived this life. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father? So you can say to somebody, don't you believe I'm in Christ? What are you talking about? I'm in Christ. Say the same statement. He said, I'm in the Father. And the Father is what? So where are we? In Christ. And Christ is what? In us. We're in Christ. And Christ is what? In us. So it's the same scenario playing out. Him and the Father, we and Christ. Him and the Father, we and Christ. Him and the Father, we and what? Christ. You can wake up and say, Father, I give you praise. I'm in Christ. And Christ is what? Me. So the life I live today is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in the strength of God. Anybody understand? Yeah? Okay. So if they said, believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father is where? In me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Let's read the last line. But the Father that dwelleth where? In me, he dwelleth the word. Did you hear Paul repeat that? Galatians 2:20. Let's go back and compile this with this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what? Yet what? But Christ liveth where? Now go back to compile it again. I don't know if we could split it and put it side by side. Let's go back to John 14:10 and see what the Lord said about himself. But the Father that liveth dwelleth what? In me. He dwelt what? Paul said, it is Christ in me that what? Does this one. Did you see how the testimonies line up? So he lived by the same faith that Jesus did. The same faith. So when anything happens, his faith is on who? Christ. So when people abandoned him and left him, he said to God, don't put this thing what? On them. He said, because you are with me, you will deliver me, and you will yet what? Deliver me again. Those are not the people that deliver me. So they are leaving me. It's not an issue. They forget about it. He said, but since you are with me, because you are what? So they are leaving him wasn't something he would say, I would say, look at the way he left me. I went to this guy. How do you leave me alone? Nope. Because they are not your deliverer. So why are you forcing and confusing because they left you? Might as well be good that they leave. Maybe they would have spoiled things for you. Praise the Lord. Paul didn't beef about it. He said, Lord, don't put it against him. He said, the Lord is what? Why? He lives in me, and I what? I live in. So because if he lives in me, then he's there. He said, the Lord is here. He will deliver me here, and he will deliver me again. Not just once. He's my deliverer any time I'm in trouble. Doubt, trust in him, he will deliver me again. You get what I'm saying? Huh? So when people leave you and you're forcing, grow up, you're a baby Christian. I don't know why people get this baby thing. I don't know why they enjoy it. What's the thing? Leave me. If you leave me, praise. Say, Pastor, I won't talk to you again. I'll still talk to you. I'll talk to you. But if you leave me, why? The most Jesus said, my Father is always what? That is the most important point Okay. I won't leave you. You leave me. I won't leave you. Leave me. I won't leave you. They didn't leave me. Come back here. They didn't leave me. Leave me. Oh, Jesus of Nazareth. Leave me. They didn't leave you. You won't read your Bible. You're angry. You won't pray. You're angry. You won't go to fellowship. You're angry. And the devil comes and says, now can we see your fellowship? See that man? See, he hates you. Say, yeah. He hates me. And the Spirit of God goes up. Not leaving you. He quench you. Because now I have fellowship with Satan. And the devil comes to kill. To what? And what? And he beats his time. It's after your life. Seriously. Tell you the truth. He doesn't love you one second. He hates you with venom. Hates you with what? Venom. And he means business. If you haven't encountered Satan, you don't understand what I'm telling you. He doesn't come to play jokes. He intends to get your life. He is serious about it. You think he's a joker, you are wasting your time. He is a very persistent, extremely persistent spirit. Very persistent. Extremely persistent and very diabolical, very wicked and extremely toxic. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. He's knocked off a lot of Christians from this earth, taking them away. I'm not kidding you. He's knocked them out of church, knocked them out. A lot. Many. And it's based on few things that are only for them. So, in order for us to be able to have faith in Christ, when Jesus came, his ministry consisted of three major things. His ministry consisted of what? He did more teaching than healing. He did mostly teaching and preaching. His first ministry was to teach them. He preached. He taught. Healing was the third one. The greatest thing Jesus did was to teach, to preach about himself, so that people can have faith in him and benefit from the blessings of him. So look at what Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities. He went about how many cities? All the cities and what? Villages. What was he doing in all of them? Number one, teaching in their synagogues. And number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then what came last? Healing every sickness. Why? If he didn't teach them, if he didn't preach to them, if he didn't tell them who he was, what he represented in them, they would not have basis to believe him and get healed. They will not have basis to believe in him. I'm very skeptical about powers that don't teach about Christ and do miracles. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to follow the pattern of Jesus. It's my example. Once you deviate from his example, that's the strange spirit. I don't want to have anything to do with it. You can have your miracle, enjoy yourself. But when you pay the price, don't come. Praise the Lord. Look at Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to, number one, hear. That's the first thing. Because he will teach them. The process of faith, you can't do without it. Faith cometh by hearing. He will teach you about himself. So you have faith in him and be able to receive the blessings of God that comes from. Now, in Mark chapter 6, we see why they rejected that teaching, and they couldn't be healed. And he went out from thence and came on into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach. See again? Church, he began to what? Teach. You see the pattern? First of all, what? Teaching. Second one, preaching. Then the third one, healing. So he began to teach in the synagogue. Why was he teaching? Why was he teaching? Why was he teaching them now? So that what? So that they'll have faith what? In him. In him. So that can receive what God is doing. So now he taught them in the synagogue. And many hearing him were what? Astonished, saying, wow, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom? Because he's talking about himself, not Moses and the law, which they used to. He's talking about himself. That I'm the one God has anointed. He was talking about himself. Because if he was talking about Moses and the law, they wouldn't be saying, what wisdom is this? They say, well, we're familiar with it. So to them, this is a new thing. And they say, what wisdom is what? Is this? Which is given unto him. That even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Continue. Roll it up quickly. I need to start the Holy Communion. Is not this the carpenter? The son of who? The brother of who? And of Judah and who? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were friends, they got angry. Does it shock you that you sit here and God is doing things in the lives of the people who sit here angry? If you sit there with the Spirit of Christ, they sit there angry and that place they are seated is so dark. If you see some things in the Spirit, your heart will break. Foolishly, they sit there angry. Angry about stupid things that have no value in this world. They sit in the church angry. And God is moving. And they pass with them by. As a pastor, your heart breaks. You don't even know how to begin to help such people. They sit there angry. Fellowshipping with demonic spirit. About the pride of life and the importance they have. Instead of humbling themselves. One pastor said, you cannot believe. We said we had a service. God was moving awesome. And after the service, one man was talking about, do you have rabbits to buy? So all he was thinking about was what? Rabbit. Rabbit. So they were offended at him. Great things happening, they were sitting there frowning at him. So see the result. Come on, click in the next verse. The next verse, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not what? Without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. See the result. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and who lost. Tell us. Let me tell us something. Please listen to me. There is what is called preventative move of God. There are times God will move in your life to prevent something. I'm not kidding you. There are times God will move in your life to do what? Prevent death. Prevent it. Prevent stuff. But because we don't know the day of your visitation, Jesus said to Israel, he said, the reason you perish is that you don't know that God is visiting you. So you don't know the day of your what? Visitation. You don't know that God is visiting you. So that's why you perish. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Come and say, praise the Lord. They sat in a great service and got what? Nothing. They didn't have faith. They couldn't. They said, this is a wonderful teaching. Hey, this wisdom, where is it coming from? We see this mighty thing. They say, is it not happening? They looked down on him. And that was not faith. And they couldn't believe. May God help us. I say, may God help us. So Paul came and preached the same message that Jesus was preaching. Because I'm going to be rounding up very soon. Acts 14:7. And there they preached the gospel And there they what? Preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man. What they preached was the gospel. The gospel is about what? Jesus Christ and the grace of God, the riches of God in Christ. So Paul said, I was sent to tell people what Christ did for them so they can enjoy it. So he said, and they preached the gospel. And verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had what? What? 9. The same had Paul speak, who steadfast beholding him and perceiving that he had faith now to be. If Paul wasn't preaching about healing, how could he have faith? Paul was telling them healing is here. He brought healing for you. He did it. He was telling them what Christ did for them. And this man believed it. And Paul looked at him, wow, this man believed the gospel and what? Preached. Verse 10. Then, let's read verse 9. Then the same had Paul preached, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith, what? Said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he lived. And was there any prayer? Huh? What happened here? He listened to the word. Jesus will teach them, preach to them, so that the faith will come and they receive from him. It's the same method up to the damn people. That's a change. Paul preached the gospel and perceived. The same way I'm telling you, you can sit in the service and you perceive people who are not trusted. You can perceive it. It's not too difficult. You can perceive people who are just losing out. So he perceived that, man, this guy is into this thing. Wow, he's into his face lit up. When you see somebody, do you know what point of contact is? You see this prayer we say, we use this man as point of contact. You need to explain it to me. I don't understand it. I'm telling you, I don't know. When we say things like that, I'm just, what is this? Maybe you are right. I'm not saying you are not right, but I don't what? I don't, you need to explain to me. Point of contact is what this man had. A point of contact is that the point you accept the word as true. That's when you have contact with the power. Somebody shout hallelujah. The point of contact is when you open your heart. The entrance of the word bringeth light. The light of the word shines. Woo, and your mind changes and say, wow, this is true about me. That's what Jesus did. That's your point of contact. When you start somebody and say, your point of contact, we're praying for everybody. Point of contact, please explain it. I'm sorry, I don't understand that. Point of contact, I know it is one. When the word penetrates, the entrance of the word give it what? That's point of contact. And faith comes as a result. You know it. And you know it. Because you know it, your face lit up with joy. Joy. And somebody can perceive, okay, we got it. And Paul said, you don't have to sit there now. You can rise up and what? No laying on of hands. No anointing. Do you know you can do it in your room? You can do it in your room. You can do it in your room. Is it not the same gospel? You can study the word in your room and get some revelation and stand up in your room and start doing what you know you're doing before. Can I hear amen? I said, let me hear amen. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit on my bed. I started to learn these things early in my Christian life. I said to the Lord, I said, who waits for a gift? What? I'm not waiting for something. A gift is a gift. I'm having it right now. I said, gift? I'm having my own right now. I say the Holy Spirit has come. Yep, he has come, and I'm a child of God. So I have the right, is what he promised us. I said, I receive it by faith now in Jesus' name. I started speaking. I didn't need anybody to lay hands on me. Because the Holy Spirit has come. Am I right? He came on the day of what? Yep. All they ask is, have you received? They never ask, has it come? All they ask is, have you now what? Because he has come. I went to my room and said, Lord, whoever waits for me. Why should I wait? As I'm getting right now. What? This thing has come longest time. What have I been doing? So I'm getting it when? Now. Because your word says so. The promise is unto you. And to you that God has called you, called us, and now in Christ. But push it. I said, and I receive it by faith now and in the name of Jesus, I speak to speak in tongues. I began to speak in tongues. Praise the Lord. So when the man stood up to walk, the people said, these people are gods. You know, that's what we do. When God uses a man, we think the man is God. So we go after them. If they preach in your church, you are waiting for them. After service, he says, sir, can I see? Give me your number. Grow up! Do what? Grow up! You don't need his number. You need Jesus. Can I hear amen? You need J-E-S-U-S. He's your sufficiency. Grow up. Stop chasing men. So now, look at us. What they said. Let's go. And they said to them in verse 11, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Now, if you believe you, many pastors and worship God would be very excited. They take titles immediately. Now, look at Paul in verse 14. Please see verse 14. When the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these what? These things. Why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you. We are not different from you. We are not different from you. Not different from you. And preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living, which make heaven and earth. See, and all things that say, what well, we don't want you to go after men, what to go after God? Not men. See, we are men like you, we have passions like you, we have challenges like you, we eat for them like you. Praise the Lord. So, why I'm bringing this out so that you know that God didn't heal that man because of God, he healed that man because the man believed the gospel, he believed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. His faith came up in Christ, not in Paul. And Paul said, well, you can't stand. You can't stand. Tonight, you are going to stand. Okay, see, now many people say the amen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So the Holy Communion, like I said, is to remind us of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the truth. The truth that sets people free. It's Christ himself. It reminds us that Christ is the power of God, that God said to set us free, to heal us. And the Holy Spirit gave us testimonies about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that fulfilled the promises of God. And through these promises, God has given us all things that pertain to life. And what? And one of them is healing. Giving it to, not going to. Look at Matthew 8, and I'll start from there. I will take the Holy Communion. I don't know if you got anything tonight. Did you get something? So we're going to rise and walk when it's time. Amen. Now, because I told you I don't know the direction this is going, but I now begin to pass it the direction. So Matthew 8:16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all that were sick, that they might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself what? Took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You know what that means? That he is the one that God sent to heal us. You see, this is our healer. This is the one. He is the one. He is the one. He is the one. You know, when symptoms come my way, I just smile and laugh. I read it to you. I said, devil, that will be reading the Bible later. I said, let me tell you what the Bible says. Surely he bore my infirmities and what? I said, you haven't been reading your Bible. If you go what? But my Bible says what? And if the Bible says surely, I can laugh it to scorn. Because on Christ is solid rock, I stand. And you can take it from me. I know when they leave. They will come, but they will. Because the Bible says they shall surely gather. But he said they will all fall because of me. Because God says that this in them. Somebody shout hallelujah. So the scripture tells us that he bore our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. That's the good. Not going to. Brethren, not going to. And do you know Jesus in his kindness? He bore it, but he still goes in his spirit today, healing people when you lay hands on them. The spirit of Christ is still healing people. When you lay hands on them, when you pray over them, when you're not there with oil, it's still the same spirit of Christ, the healer, that is healing everywhere. We don't have any other healer, do we? Come on, church. So he's the one. So he gave us healing. But he's the one that's our healer. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, and you believe that that thing will happen, he heals you. He gets it done. He gets it done. And this evening, you'll get it. Can we have the Holy Communion? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.